We'll continue with Thus Spake Ramana. We're on number 121. Without uttering the word I, to quest with the mind turned inwards as to whence the I arises, is alone the enquiry leading to self-knowledge. Okay, so there is a very precise definition of Atma-vichara. It couldn't be simpler. But it must be without uttering the word I, not even silently to oneself, because you don't want to create language. You want to eliminate the illusion that there is an I. That illusion is created by the thought I. So you don't utter the thought I, but your attention, your consciousness that is real, discovers whence that thought arises by turning inward and discovers that there is nothing there. But that nothingness opens out into infinity of absolute consciousness. So, with the mind turned inwards, questing as to whence the I arises, that is alone the inquiry leading to self-knowledge. Other than this, could contemplation in words like this I am not, that I am, or the like, be by itself the inquiry? Of course not. It can be an aid thereto, but it is not the inquiry. Because the inquiry must transcend language, since language is the obstacle. Language creates the illusion. It's that crossing over to the plane beyond language that is the difficulty for the ego. In fact, an impossibility for the ego, because the ego is made out of language. And so it requires the extraction of your consciousness from identification with thought, to know yourself as you really are, before you learned language, before you got enmeshed in the matrix that language causes. When you step out of the matrix of language, you discover that the entire world actually is made of language. And once you step out of that, what remains is light and information, but not a separate world that you realize was a dream created by filtering consciousness through language. And the awakening from the dream and the prison that language becomes that keeps one in a fixed identity without free will, because the language produces itself automatically according to subconscious algorithms not under the control of the consciousness until it disidentifies from the artifact of language and the illusory ego created thereby. Once you extract yourself through that purification, there is re-empowerment. So, Ramana goes on, questing who am I within one's mind, when one reaches the heart. Now, that's not the physical heart, and it's not even the heart located in the right side of the body. It's the heart as the center of consciousness. Once you have extracted your awareness from thought, you discover that there is a center, an absolute center. And that absolute center is known because it is changeless, timeless, and without images and without emotions, affect, impulses, desires, fears. There is a pure stillness at the center. It is the stillness at the center that is the heart. Once you've arrived at the stillness of the center, Ramana goes on, the individual illusory ego eye sinks crestfallen. And it's very interesting, crestfallen. Your ego will actually be depressed when you have reached the stillness because it will realize it has lost the game. And the ego will surrender to you, who are the heart. And then, at once, Ramana says, reality with a capital R manifests itself spontaneously as the real I am I. That real I is Sat, Sat Chit Ananda. And the ego I will never again disturb you. The illusion will have been conquered. So, though it reveals itself thus, the real self, it reveals itself as I am I, but not in language, and not as an individual, but the I of the totality, the I that is the absolute infinitesimal center, and that projects the entire cosmos as its dream. The I am I, the absolute consciousness and the dream field, the Brahman. Though it reveals itself thus, it is not the ego I, but the perfect being, the absolute self, silent but absolutely complete, whole, in total solitude, because there is no other. There is only the one infinite consciousness that is eternal, unchanging and blissful. When you have arrived at that level of your being, at the very center of your being, you are done with the illusion. You have graduated. You are liberated. And then the implosion of the matrix that is happening now will not disturb you. Because there is no world, the end of the illusion is no different than its new beginning. You remain in the center. The world goes around. Time goes in its circle around you, but you remain the still center with no desire to incarnate or enter into the matrix again. There is pure liberation unto the absolute eternally. What Ramana goes on in 123, to seek and abide in the reality that is ever attained is alone the attainment. So this still center of consciousness is what you always were. Even before you reach it, it is there because the ego is the projection of that. But now you realize as an ego that you were only the projection of your own self. That is when the laughter happens, that you realize you were just your own shadow. And then you dissolve into your real self and you've come home. And you've arrived at the abode of the infinite. But it is always attained. It's only an illusion that you were ever separate from that. So if it is said that liberation is of three kinds, with form, without form, or with and without form, then let me tell you, Ramana says, the extinction of the ego which asks which form of liberation is true is the true liberation. Okay? So philosophers can dispute all of these questions. But when you have reached liberation, there are no questions. There's no need for philosophy. One has got truth, the real. You don't need to think about anything. It's all been figured out. It's done. So, Ramana says in 124, grace is beginning, middle, and end. Grace is there always. In other words, the world is perfect, an absolutely perfect dream. There was never really any suffering. The ego might have thought that along the way, but when you realize you're not the ego, you realize that every piece of suffering or every experience was meant to bring you to greater growth, greater awareness, greater willingness to come back into your own center. And so all of the information gained through your experience, through the whole cycle, leads to the perfect understanding of God, who now you realize is the self that you have always been. So grace is beginning, middle, and end. Grace is the self. Because of the false identification with the body, grace is considered to be with body, but the guru's outlook is only the self. The self is only one. So some people think grace is received in the body as Shakti. No, grace is the source from which all Shakti flows, but grace is bodiless, timeless. So the guru, Ramana, in this case, tells you that the self alone is. Then is not the self your grace? Where from will grace come? It is from the self only. Manifestation of the self is the manifestation of grace, and vice versa. All the doubts arise because of the wrong outlook and the consequent expectation of things external to oneself. But nothing, nothing is external to the self. So you must stop looking outside for help, for grace, for power, for truth, and find it within. And there is nothing without. It's an illusion to think you are separate within some larger matrix. That is the illusion that will be conquered by realization. So in the final saying, 125, there is no greater mystery than this, that being the reality, being it, being the supreme real ourselves, we seek to gain reality. How is it possible God could have forgotten who she is, who I am? How could it have happened? That's the mystery. But did it happen? Or is it only a play in the mind of God, who likes to dream? So, we think that there is something binding our reality, and that it must be destroyed before the reality is gained. This is Machik's view, right? Destroy the demons, cut off their heads, kill all the Maras, and then you're free. Even that's an illusion. The Maras are your own creation. You're just playing with them. There's no real struggle. Nothing ever bound you. All of this is your own dream you've created for your own enjoyment. But nothing exists other than the dreamer. So, we think that there is something binding our reality and that it must be destroyed before reality is gained, but this is ridiculous. A day will dawn when you yourself will laugh at your effort. That which is on the day of laughter is also now. Om. Namaste. May you know the peace that comes of realizing the oneness of eternity and time. May you know the deeper peace of the eternal self that never leaves the absolute heart throne of infinite, luminous, blissful, intelligent awareness. And may you know the supreme peace of that liberation which enjoys the dream of time from the abode of the timeless and always emanates the infinite grace of being to all the manifestations of the infinite facets of the diamond mind that is the self. May you know yourself as that, here and now.